Let us switch now to Josh Laughlin, who is the executive director of Cascadia Wildlands. It is not surprising that conservation groups would have some issues with this or any BLM management plan that involves timber cutting, particularly an increase in timber cutting as this one does. Josh, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Given the disparate interests that BLM serves, I mean, was anything likely to be criticized heavily, you think?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of criticism to be had with the plan, particularly from the constituency that we represent. You know, we're wanting to see our clean water safeguarded and more jobs created in that restoration forestry approach to public lands management. But what we're going to see here is an increase in logging levels and a return to more aggressive type logging, which kind of mirrors clear cutting. So it's streamside reserves will be slashed in half compared to where they were. And those safeguards were put into place to improve water quality and to enhance salmon populations. So we think the BLM's really going in the wrong direction by slashing these streamside buffers in half.
Given that this is a huge document with all kinds of tables and maps, are there particular geographical areas within this that you have more trouble with than others?
You know, it's about a foot-tall stack of volumes, so we're continuing to thumb through them to see exactly what the plan does. You know, we've really done the initial course look, you know, with the logging levels that are ramped up and streamside buffers that get shrunk. So we're continuing to really dig into the details now to see how kind of specifics are played out and laid out in the plan district by district.
All right. So the chief source of criticism is the increase in logging?
You know, logging surely has a place on our public BLM lands, particularly if it's focused in the tree farms where there's just tens of thousands of acres of these plantations that were once old-growth forests. And we'd really like to see the logging focused in a restorative fashion in these even-age tree farms to enhance these forests back into, you know, more forests than corn crops that have begun to dominate the landscape out there.
So you'd be okay with some of the plantations being logged if they were intended then to turn into eventually some sort of mature forest, more like old growth?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of restoration work out there that needs to be done that requires a chainsaw and a workforce. All these even-age tree farms that now dominate our landscape from the glut of clear-cutting that happened for decades require human intervention to restore complexity back into them, to turn them back into or begin to turn them back into forests. So we'd really like to see a workforce focus there in this BLM plan. But what we're seeing is a return to clear cutting, to ramp up timber volumes, to solve county budget woes. So we think that's a real outdated model and want to see more proactive ways to address some of these county funding concerns that we've got here in Western Oregon. It's just we believe it's a failed strategy of the past to link the success of our county services to archaic types of forest management like we're going to see under this plan.
So you do think that the county funding mechanism, the half the income from the ONC timberlands cut goes to the counties, you think that is the primary driver in this plan and the increase in the timber sales?
Well, it's a real driver, and you could certainly argue that it's a primary driver. The counties have been very vocal, certain counties, that is. I mean, for example, if you can believe it, Lane County has just voted to pitch in $84,000 towards legal fees in an alleged lawsuit that's going to be filed by the counties to ramp up the cut even further. So it's incredible how much influence the counties have had over this planning revision process.
Well, and in fact, what the counties are recommending is multiplying. I mean, we're not talking about a percentage increase. We're talking about like times two, times three of what the BLM had been talking about cutting. Is what they would like to see under this plan.
Yeah, Exactly. So, I mean, that's bringing us back to the dark ages of forest management. I mean, that's just ridiculous to try and hitch the success of counties, whether it's filling potholes or jail beds or sheriffs for communities, to try and tie our future to ramped up logging levels on our public lands is really a failed strategy of the past. And really want to see us as community members, county members in our Western Oregon counties, really roll up the sleeves and find a new way forward to fund our counties. It's just a real bad strategy to rely on increased clear cutting on these public forest lands.
Josh Laughlin is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, executive director of the group Cascadia Wildlands. We're talking about the BLM Western Oregon Resource Management Plan, recently released as a proposed final document. The protest period is on now, will last until the second week of May. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with Josh in this conversation at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Kristen in Cottage Grove. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Yes, so I just wanted to comment on the BLM person that was speaking before, because I live in Cottage Grove, and we have some BLM lands near us, and they really haven't been managed, I feel, for diverse needs. They have been clear-cut pretty harshly, and they, in fact, I think can be a deterrent towards people coming here for tourism and hiking and mountain biking, because they are just, again, really harsh and kind of unsettling. And I just have to say that I feel like their plans are not compatible with what's going on currently. The fires last year around here were terrible, and the clear cutting and the older practices really seem to exasperate the fire danger around here. You could not even really go outside for the last couple weeks in August. Also, too, I heard that it might be a different agencies involved, but I heard that Oregon failed to get $1.2 million from federal money because of the failure to protect the waterways. So the increased logging and the reduced buffers for the riparian areas are really out of context with the things that are actually happening here. Mm-hmm. And just to say, I don't really understand how you can protect the environment and reduce global warming and cut more. And I think we just kind of have to get to the point and say you can't do both.
All right.
That these things are not mutually, they're incompatible. And there's a dissonance here that I feel like needs to be called out. I know that the solutions to this are complex, and it's going to take a lot of steps to really navigate through it. But this seems to be not in context of what's actually happening. And for someone who lives relatively close to the forest, I live in town. I used to live out closer to the watershed. But, there are real problems with being able to access the environment because of the practices and these older models that really need to be updated.
All right. So thank you, Kristen. Appreciate that. This is a kindred spirit, it sounds like, Josh Laughlin.
Well, she brings up real important issues. I mean, these people are moving to Western Oregon in droves. I mean, you've probably seen the statistics that, it's the state most people are moving to the last couple of years in our country. And, I mean, they're moving here for the quality of life, really. I mean, the clean water, the big old trees, really the quality of life. And we just really believe that the agency, in this case, the BLM, should really be further emphasizing the protection of what makes our region so special. I mean, people aren't moving out here to hike in clear cuts. They're coming out to see the natural beauty. So we want to see that more underscored in a final plan for our Western Oregon forest lands here.
I want to come back to your concept, though, about taking some of the places that are like tree farms now and finding it okay to take trees out of there so that you can convert it into something that'll look like an old-growth forest at some point. Will be one, in fact. But when that process is complete, I mean, do you envision anything really available for timber sales on a regular basis? And I know you want to make a disconnect with the county funding here, but would there be logging in that future BLM Western Oregon region as you see it?
Right. Well, there's literally, a decade worth of restoration thinning on the plantation. So we're kind of looking at it in that trajectory. You know, there's plenty of work to be done restoratively thinning the tree farms that are out here, and really think that the agency should be focused kind of on that restoration-driven mission in this plan versus, you know, ramping up the cut and bringing back clear cutting.
We have a couple of comments here. Wolfgang in Sunny Valley says the BLM would get a better reception if it had a better track record of not stonewalling the public with euphemisms and terminology that mean the opposite of what it sounds like, and definitions that allow for increased harvest, in quotes, and increased protected areas, in quotes, at the same time. Since you can't redefine harvest not to mean cutting, this is possible only if you redefine protection to something much less than it used to mean. Please explain if I'm wrong. I mean, is it similar to what you see there, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, if you step back, what we're really seeing here with this proposal is a dismantling of a larger conservation framework for the West Side forests in the Pacific Northwest, these public forest lands. And the BLM is ultimately withdrawing from that larger Northwest Forest Plan strategy that was put in place to recover wild salmon and enhance water quality and design a large block system of reserves to keep imperiled wildlife from reaching extinction. And they're essentially withdrawing from that strategy that they signed up for in the past with this new plan for Western Oregon that will ramp up the cut, slash streamside buffers in half. And again, much of this is being driven because of the clamoring of some of these Western Oregon counties that want to ramp up the cut to fund essential county services, which, is a real failed strategy of the past that we should steer clear from.
The BLM's release, its fact sheet, as it puts it on the resource management plan, says that it would have 75% of the land in reserves, which is 11% more than the Northwest Forest Plan. Are they redesigning reserves or redefining them?
Yeah. The reserve network, as we know it, is completely getting dismantled and replaced with a new system. So we're really trying to ultimately understand what this. We're going through all the maps now, but they're pulling the threading out of the larger framework with this new system. And of course, the streamside reserves get slashed in half. Those also had an intention of helping recover some of these terrestrial species that were teetering on the brink of extinction. So, again, just a real kind of disappointment in that sense that we're slashing these protective reserves to ramp up the cut.
Just a couple of seconds here. Are you thinking about suing over the plan?
We're continuing to comb through this, foot-high document.
Okay, pending. Josh Laughlin is the executive director of Cascadia Wildlands. Thanks for joining us.
I appreciate the opportunity.